Let's give a warm welcome to the man who's going to share the word of God with us today, Pastor Joe Weeks.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you hear me okay? Can everyone hear me okay? I can't shout because my voice is going. But can you hear me? Can you hear me saying, can you hear me? Just checking. Can you hear me okay? If not, I can raise it up a little bit.
I can't hear you back here.
Okay. Isaac, if you can just raise up the one that says clip on for me. Thank you very much. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Is that okay? I'll try and speak up a little bit. Amen. Before I start, I'm just going to pray and then we're just going to watch a video quickly. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Father, that you are already here, Father. I thank you for your presence, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that everything that goes on after this, Lord, and everything that you say through me, Father God, will be directly from your throne, directly from your heart, and that you'll speak it directly into our hearts. Father God, we submit and we surrender to you. Lord, we are in awe of your majesty. We thank you and give you the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning I want to speak to you, but before I speak to you, I'm going to let you watch a video. This video will tell you what I'm going to speak to you about. Thanks, Danasia.
So the world that we live in, everyone's always trying to give praise, glory, recognition for things that people have done or things that they're doing. And you know, the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Colossians 1:10 says, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." Now I know in my profession as a professional quarterback, it is so easy to get caught up in and living for and playing for the fame, the fans, the media, and getting caught up in what they say and what they think about you. And at the end of the day, God's already approved of you. You don't have to worry about what the fans might say, what the media might write. It doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, you're playing this game for the Lord. You're doing whatever your work is, you're doing it for the Lord. So don't get caught up in what people say, what people think. Ultimately, if you are right with God, you have everything that you need. And so I challenge you again to where are you trying to find that glory? Where are you trying to find that approval? It's not from the world that we live in. It's all about from God.
Amen, 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 amen. He said something. You guys, if you're American and you watch sports, you probably recognize who that guy is. I don't know who he is. But I saw that in my devotion and it really blessed me. And one line really stood out to me. And that is, where is it? And that is, ultimately, if you're right with God, you have everything you need. Ultimately, if you're right with God, you have everything you need. This morning, I want to speak to you about something that's very close to my heart, something that really affects me, and something that probably affects each of us at some point in our lives. But the title from my talk this morning is Rejected by Man, Approved by God. Amen. Rejected by Man, Approved by God. So whenever I speak, I think it's a habit of myself and my wife. We're very sort of like, we speak from where we are, where we're at. I haven't been walking this road for a long time, so I can only pull on what I've been through with the Lord. And one of the things that I have often struggled with is feelings of rejection. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt rejected?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Oh, come on. Have you ever felt rejected?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I thought I was alone on that one. Have you ever felt rejected? I looked up the word rejected. And a word rejected means this: to be persistently avoided, to be ignored, to be shut out, to be dismissed as inadequate, unacceptable, or faulty, to be cast off or cast off by family, friends, colleagues, spouses, etc., etc. So for me, rejection is something that I've often battled with. And as you all agreed with me, it's something that I feel that all of us have battled with at some point in our life. Speaking about myself personally, a number of years ago, or a couple of years ago, I am a single parent. I'm kind of a single parent. My son's 18 now, so I don't know if I'm still classed as being a single parent. But my son came to stay with me as his sole carer when he was about 9 years old, and so I brought him up from that into his teen years. And as he entered into his teen years, you know, teenagers can be quite difficult. And at the age of about 16 or 17, he decided that he wanted to do his own thing. He'd had enough of the oppression of his father, or that's how kids seem to see it. And he decided that he wanted to kind of go out and live his life his own way. And when he did that, I felt immensely rejected. I felt like I'd provided for him, I'd cared for him, and he needed to go and do his own thing. He felt like he needed to go and do his own thing. And that caused a lot of problems for me, a lot of inner turmoil. It affected me in terms of my relationship with my mum, because you know that grandmums always love their children, and if anything is wrong, it's always the parent, it's never the grandchild. So that caused a lot of issues in my family, and at times I often felt like I was rejected. I felt like I wasn't good enough. Another way that I feel rejected, or I can often feel like I'm disapproved of, and a lot of musicians, if there's any musicians in here, you probably have felt like this at some point in your life. But if you're a musician or you're a singer, you may feel like you're not good enough. You may feel like you don't really cut the mustard. If you go onto YouTube, you see phenomenal drummers and phenomenal singers and phenomenal musicians. And you may feel like you just don't cut the mustard. Or athletes, you may see other athletes and you're saying, I wish I could run like that person, or I wish I could be like that person. But and sometimes we can often feel rejected when we feel that our gifts or our talents don't match up to what we think they should be, or what we think the world thinks that they should be. But I do have to say one thing, that whatever you do have, and I think about my gifts, I sometimes feel like my gifts are limited, but whatever gifts we have been given to us by God. And we use those to glorify God anyway, irrespective of how we feel. So have you ever felt rejected? Everybody said yes. And rejection can manifest itself in a number of ways. As I read through these words, some of these words may tickle you. They may be how you feel. Rejection can manifest itself in loneliness, feelings of loneliness. You can feel like the world or family or friends reject you, and you feel cast out and that you're lonely. You can feel like you're overlooked sometimes, or maybe ignored. You can often feel like maybe you're offended. You can feel maybe like you're undeserving, insufficient, or worthless. And people that are close to you can sometimes make you feel like this. Your spouse, your best friend, your colleagues, even, dare I say it, fellow Christians in church can sometimes make you feel like you're an outcast or that you're rejected. But I want to tell you this morning, I'm telling you the conclusion after only 2 minutes, that none of that matters. The only thing that matters is God's approval. The only thing that counts is God's approval. When I'm going through these things, I remind myself, I have one saying, only God's approval counts. Only God's approval counts. And like the guy, the footballer said, ultimately, if you're right with God, then you have everything that you need. So how do we get God's approval? Well, reading through the scripture, can I get you all to turn to Romans 3, actually? But your version is going to say it differently to mine, because I'm reading a God's Word translation, and I like the way that it says it in this translation. But if we can turn to Romans chapter 3, and we're going to be reading from verse 21 shortly. But the question that I was posed is, so how do we get God's approval? Well, it takes two things. It takes grace, and it takes faith. It takes God's grace, and it takes our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So if we read Romans chapter 3, and I'm going to read from 21 down to number 24. Now the way to receive God's approval has been made plain in a way other than the laws in the scriptures. Moses' teachings and the prophets tell us this. Everyone who believes has God's approval through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no difference between people, because all people have sinned. They have all fallen short of God's glory, and they receive God's approval freely by an act of his kindness through the price that Jesus Christ paid to set us free from sin. So God's word tells us that to get God's approval requires faith in Jesus. Because you see that Jesus Christ, and we know it, we hear the gospel all the time, but I went to a church on Tuesday and they told the story, or not the story, they told the gospel, and I was immensely touched. And, you know, the gospel is that Jesus Christ came to the earth and he died for our sins and he rose so that we could be reunited forever with the Father in heaven. And sometimes because we're Christians and if we're walking this road for a long time, that story can be like, ah, pa.
But I do encourage us to really just remind ourselves of that story, because it is an amazing thing that Jesus did when he came to earth and he died for our sins. He died so that our worth would no longer be tied to the opinions or the thoughts of others or how we feel that others think about us, but our worth would be tied to the price that he paid for us. And the price that he paid for each of us was with his life. And simply for us to gain his approval, we just need to believe that he died for our sins. Jesus died for our sins. Amen. And we're all equal. Sometimes we can feel like someone is maybe better than us. You know, Marlon, he's taller than me. And I've forgotten your name, Jeremy. Muscles there, has got bigger muscles than me. And look at Wes, you know, just sitting there, Mr. Henchman himself. And we all have different skills. We all have different talents. We all look different. You know, everyone in this church, we're very blessed because everyone sitting in here is immensely beautiful and good looking. But we can sometimes compare ourselves. Why are people laughing? It's true. You should see what I'm seeing from up here. Yeah. But the thing that blesses me about the people in here is that not only are they beautiful on the outside, but once we get to know each other, we realize that everyone is actually beautiful on the inside. So we thank you for that. But we are all equal. Sometimes we can feel that we're not equal, that, you know, we're all, that some people are ahead of us or some people are behind us. But we are all equal. In Romans chapter 3, verse 22, I'll read it again. It says, everyone who believes has God's approval through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no difference between people. And it takes faith to get God's approval. Amen. So Jesus died for everyone. He died for the popular. He died for the unpopular. He died for the wealthy. He died for the poor. He died for the ones who feel like they're cast off or rejected. The ones who feel like they've been cast out. The black sheep, the outcast, the oddbods, the ones of us that are a little bit maybe geeky. The rejected. He died for all of us. He died for the ones who feel like they don't fit in. He died for the people that think they're perfect and for those of us who feel like we're less than perfect. But he died for every single one of us. And we can only receive God's approval through faith in Christ. Verse 24 of Romans 3 says, they receive God's approval freely by an act of his kindness through the price Christ Jesus paid to set us free from sin. The world that we live in is obsessed with polls. It's obsessed with opinion polls, popularity polls. In the States, they're obsessed with approval ratings. You know, we just went through the presidential election, or maybe it was about a year ago, but it feels like we're still in the midst of that. And the same thing in the UK. You know, our world is full of reality TV where wannabe stars are always trying to get us to vote for them or to validate them. And they do increasingly crazy things so that they can get more space on the newspaper or more approval. But we in church and we that know Christ do not need to succumb to that temptation to do that, because our approval doesn't come from anyone in this world. It comes from the man, Christ Jesus. And that approval can only be obtained by faith in Jesus. So we can often find that it's hard to please mankind. And I don't know about you, but I often try to please my wife. And my wife is quite forgiving, but I try to please her. So a couple of years ago, she seemed to be using my laptop and my iPad a lot. And I kind of thought, I'm going to be a nice husband because I'm a nice guy. And I thought to myself, let me resolve this situation. Let me take back my stuff and get her own stuff. So I bought her an iPad for Christmas, and I bought a lovely pink case, and I wrapped it up. And when she came to the Christmas tree, the first thing my wife does is she touches it. And if it's a box, she normally walks away because she doesn't like anything that's electronic or that comes in a box. So she comes and she's like, oh, it's a box. And I'm like, yeah, it's a box. Remembering how much I paid for the thing that was in the box. She opens the box, and the first thing she sees is an iPad. She doesn't even bat an eyelid. She's like, oh, okay, an iPad. Puts it down, and then she looks at the case, and she's like, this case is beautiful. I gave her a pink case with the iPad, and she was more impressed with the pink case than she was with the iPad. See, even my wife, as easy as she is to please, in that circumstance, it wasn't that easy to please her. Yet again, I'm quite fortunate that I get to travel a lot with work. And so I traveled to Australia and I was in Melbourne and I thought, I'm never going to be in a place like this again. Let me get something for my wife. Normally I buy her chocolate. Wherever I go in the world, I always buy the kids and my wife chocolate because we just like chocolate from around the world. But I thought this time I'm going to step my game up. I thought I'm going to buy her something really, really nice, really expensive. So I went into a perfume shop, a shop that I couldn't afford to be in, but I pretended like I could afford to be there. And I spoke to the helper, the sales assistant, and she took me around, letting me smell all of these other all of these types of perfume that I thought were absolutely amazing, if a little bit overpriced. So I bought my wife this perfume, paid a ridiculous amount of money for it, but I thought, you know, I wanted to give her something to show her my appreciation for her. I brought it home, and I didn't even give it straight to her straight away, because I was so excited. I told her, I brought you a really nice gift. I let the anticipation build for about 6 weeks, and then it just happened that it was Christmas again, last Christmas, so I gave it to her at Christmas, and she felt that it was a box again, so she wasn't that impressed yet. But she opened it, and she saw it was perfume, and then she was a little bit happier, and it was a perfume set, and it came with soap, or, you know, it comes with other stuff. So she opened it, and she smelled it, and it was kind of like a smile on her face, but not the kind of smile that Lisa has on her face now. It's kind of like, I'm trying to please you type smile. So I thought nothing more about it. And I am going to get back to the word. But I thought nothing more about it. But a few weeks later, I came in from work, and my wife said to me, I've got something to tell you. And I'm like, what's wrong? Because she's all sullen and just really serious. And she's like, I'm really sorry, I've got something to tell you. Please promise me you won't get upset. Please promise me you won't get mad. And I'm like, no, what is it? Just tell me. I thought something serious had happened. And she's like, well, you know that perfume you bought me? And I'm like, yes. And she's like, you know that expensive bottle of perfume that came, you know, 8,000 miles from Australia back to the UK? I'm like, yes, that perfume. She's like, well, that perfume, I gave it to my mum. I'm like, what? I'm like, okay. I'm gonna take this like a man. And I'm like, okay, I can deal with that. And she's like, because it's made me smell like old people. And I was like, and I was like, okay. So you see, even with me and my wife, I've been married to her for nearly, for just over 4 years. It's hard to please even the people that we know and we love. Thankfully, God is not that hard to please. But I want you to remember that you can't please all of the people. All right, I'm trying to get everyone back now. But you can see that we can't please all of the people all of the time. But we are fortunate that we can please our Heavenly Father. My favorite verse, or one of my favorite verses in Scripture, comes from Hebrews 11, verse 6. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But he that comes to God... And my favorite verse, I've just forgotten. And I didn't write it down because it's my favorite verse. But he that comes to God, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. See, to please God, all it takes is simply faith. It takes faith. So if you ever feel rejected, and we've all said that we do, you're in good company. All throughout the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, many people in the Word of God often felt like they were rejected. And a couple of people that I'm just going to point out before I move towards the close is Joseph. We all know the story about Joseph and the technicolored dream coat, or the coat of many colors. Joseph, in all of his wisdom, decided to tell his brothers, I had a dream where we were in the field and we were gathering bales of hay, and my bale of hay was in the middle, and all of your bales of hay were bowing down towards it. That's how we started the story. The second dream that he told his brothers was that he had a dream, or I think he told his father, he had a dream, and the sun, the moon, and all the stars, or 11 stars, were bowing down towards Joseph. Now you can imagine, if you've got a sibling that's telling you that your bale of hay is going to bow to me, and that you are the stars and you're going to bow to me, that might make you think, hey, my brother's acting a little bit arrogant. So what did his brothers do? They took him, they put him in a hole, and they sold him into slavery. He was rejected by his brothers. He was rejected by his family. And then most of us know the story of Joseph after that. He was sold into slavery. He then ended up in prison. But then where did he end up after that? Throughout everything that Joseph went through, his faith remained intact, and he remained devoted and committed to his God. And even though he felt rejected by his family, in the end, he remained faithful to his God, and he was elevated and lifted up by his God. And in fact, he turned around to bless his family. So the same people who'd rejected him God used him to bless. Another person, a favorite person of my wife, she made me mention Hannah in the Bible. But Hannah, you know, Hannah in the Bible, she couldn't have a baby. All she wanted to do was have a baby. And she was married to a guy called Elkanah, who also had another wife. This was in the Old Testament. He also had another wife called Penaniah. And Penaniah used to kind of tease her and kind of goad her a little bit, saying, you know, what's up with you? Why can't you have another baby? So Hannah felt rejected. She felt maybe worthless. She felt maybe that she was unaccepted or not validated because she was unable in that circumstance to have a baby. But she went and she prayed to God, and God heard her cry and answered her prayer and gave her a baby who grew up to be Samuel, who was one of the greatest prophets and judges in the Old Testament. And God used Samuel even to bless and to establish the kingdom of King David, who he was used to anoint. So you see, God can take the things or the situations where we may feel rejected or unworth or unworthy, and he can turn those around and use those not only to bless us, but to bless others. You see, God approves of those who believe in him in spite of their circumstances, and God will move through the pain of rejection to provide healing, blessing to you, and also to others. But I think one of the most famous people, the person that probably stands out in our minds the most when we think about rejection, is Jesus himself. Is Jesus himself. And you don't need to turn there, but I'm going to just read you a verse, and it comes from Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3. And it's a verse that I think we're all familiar with. But this is speaking about Jesus, and it says, "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, not like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem." He was despised so much that he was looked upon as a person from whom people hide their faces. And that was Jesus. Some of us may feel rejected by maybe our wives or our work colleagues or different people that we know. But there has only ever been one person in history who was actually rejected by every single person that ever lived. And that was Jesus. He was rejected by everyone. All mankind rejected him. All mankind rejected him. And how did we reject him? We rejected him by living in sin. We reject him by not believing in him. Living in sin and not believing in God is the way that we reject him. It says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, it says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity or the sin of us all." So you see, Jesus was the most rejected man to ever have lived. But if we look at how that story ends, it didn't end in disappointment. It didn't end in heartache. It ended in rejoicing. Because even though he was rejected by everybody, his faith remained steadfast in his God. And he was approved and validated by God because he kept his faith. And in so doing, he made a way so that each of us can get to the Father. God said to Jesus, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Because Jesus believed and trusted God. And God used him to bless and save all of mankind. So if we can just turn to Romans chapter 4. So each of us has been called to great things. And often the way that we feel, the emotions that we feel, the negative emotions that we feel, or the way that other people make us feel, can prevent us from living out the calling that God has placed on our lives. And I want to tell everyone here that God has placed a unique calling on every single person's life that is sitting in this place. Half of the journey is for us to realize that God has actually called us. Sometimes we feel like we're not even good enough for God, but we are. And God has called each and every one of us. He has called each and every one of us. And he has called each and every one of us to great things. Things that our minds can't even contemplate. If he was to show us the things that he has called us to, it would probably blow our minds. But he has called each of us Doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how big your waist is or how small your waist is. God has called each of us. It doesn't matter your preference of music, your preference of a sports team. God has called each and every one of us. It doesn't matter what your husband says to you, what your wife says to you. It doesn't matter what your exes say to you. It doesn't matter what your children say to you. It's God that has called us and put something in each and every one of us. Abraham, I'm going to read about Abraham. God called Abraham from a land, and he asked him to move from one place to another place. And he told Abraham, even though he was an older man, he was over 60 at the time, God told him that you'll have offspring that number more than the stars that are in the sky. Abraham must have thought that was quite humorous, because at that time he was an older man. So he probably felt like his age prevented him from being able to accomplish that which God had called him to. But this is what Abraham did. And I'm reading from Romans chapter 4, verse 19. I'm going to read quite a few verses here. And it says, Abraham didn't weaken. Through faith he regarded the facts. His body was already as good as dead now that he was about 100 years old. And Sarah was unable to have children. He didn't doubt God's promise out of a lack of faith. Instead, giving honor to God for the promise, he became strong because of faith and was absolutely confident that God would do what he promised. This is why Abraham's faith was regarded as the basis of his approval by God. But the words, his faith was regarded as the basis of his approval by God, were written not only for him, but also for us. Our faith will be regarded as the basis of our approval by God. Each of us who believe in the one who brought Jesus our Lord back to life. You see, Jesus our Lord was handed over to death because of our failures and was brought back to life so that we could receive God's approval. Jesus was brought back to life to provide us with God's approval. But to receive God's approval, we have to have faith. So in closing, I just want us to remember that in order for us to receive God's approval, we simply need to believe in the finished work of Christ. And one thing I want you to tell yourself, whenever you feel like you're being rejected, or you might feel that you're not valid, or you get that voice in your ear saying you're not worth anything, I want you to remember that only God's approval counts. And in order for you to have God's approval, simply takes faith. Simply takes faith. Amen? Amen. 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 I'm going to hand you back over to Pastor Vince.